Yeah, Myles Garrett. Teams said to be fishing around for Myles Garrett. That's according to Albert Breer from his Monday Morning Quarterback this week. And I think it would make all the sense in the world for the Browns to trade him right now. I mean, it's just a complete and utter disaster there. I don't know what you do about the quarterback situation. Jameis Winston starting this week. You have Deshaun Watson. I don't know, out for a calendar year? Is he going to be ready for next season? It's the worst contract, trade, whatever you want to call it, in the history of sports. The worst contract, you could say. Because of what it's cost them, limits. It's cost them other possible players. All the draft picks they gave up. Think there's like, if you want to do a deep dive on this thing, you could spend 3 days on everything that it has cost the Browns. And for what? So that they could watch him play quarterback at a level that was probably behind Jacoby Brissett, behind anybody else they've tried over the last couple of years. He's been their worst quarterback. Joe Flacco, certainly worse than him. And I think not necessarily a fast and easy fix, but a fast and easy way to start to remedy the damage and work your way out of this ditch that you're in because of Deshaun Watson and what you did to get him would be to trade Myles Garrett. Wow. I think that's almost an obvious move. Like, when are they going to be ready to win again?
Obvious move.
Absolutely.
I still think that their roster's pretty good.
For how long?
That's the thing, because Chubb, I know he came back. He's still banged up. Still, I mean, he looked pretty good.
They just traded Amari Cooper. I mean,
they're starting to move pieces.
To me, they're launching at the least a retooling, at the most a rebuild, I think.
I look at it this way. If you're trading Myles Garrett, who's basically their TJ Watt, I mean, what are you signaling? You are basically saying we're done for the next 3-4 years, and this is a total, complete rebuild.
It depends on who you get in the draft. You know, if you get a quarterback, see, if they could get a young stud quarterback, then you just hide Deshaun until you can finally get out of that financial obligation.
So there's your...
And who's to say you don't get a CJ Stroud? I don't think it's necessarily 3 or 4 years. Things happen faster in the NFL. Here's the first question before you launch into that. What do you get for him? 2 first-round picks?
Probably 2 firsts, yeah.
Maybe another one?
Maybe a player with it.
Maybe a third? So, to me, I asked for the moon. I mean, what has been the most compensation received in a recent NFL trade? That would be my question.
The Deshaun Watson trade.
You're right.
Literally, the one that they made a couple years ago.
Yes.
Like, you know the scene out of Draft Day where Sonny's asking, he makes the trade to trade up for the number one pick with Seattle.
Yeah.
And he gives up, like, what, 2 first-round draft picks?
Yeah.
And then they're further on in the draft, and everybody's starting to shake, and Cleveland makes a trade to move back into the draft. And he says to the Seattle general manager, I want all my picks back, after he traded it for the first overall pick. That's exactly what I'm remembering right now.
3 first-round picks. You could recoup all 3. Ask for that. People say no. You say, okay, then we keep Myles Garrett. He's still only 28, by the way. Although he's had some weird injury problems, including both feet issues this year. He should go to the Good Feet store, I might add.
He should.
That's what I'd ask for. I'd ask for 3. Okay, you don't want to give me that? We'll take 2 first-rounders and a third or a second. It's Myles Garrett. Do you know what he would do to the chances of a team like, just pick one?
Detroit.
Detroit.
That's where he would fit best.
The Bills. Do you know what he would do for them? Him or a Max Crosby? Pick another team. The Houston Texans? Teams that are ready to win, and if you add a piece like that, it would be insane.
It'd be great in Green Bay. They're not going to maybe make that trade, but yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens, I don't know if they would do it in division. I don't know if they'd care. Plus, those would be low first-round picks. But just pick a team. Maybe some other team that's in the middle, that would be drafting in the middle, would want to do that, thinking that Myles Garrett could elevate them within the next year or two anyway. What's his contract status?
Maybe the Colts.
Great call. I think there could be something to this. At least I think it makes sense. And what a wonderful way to lead off our Wheel of Ball. I can't think of a better way to lead off the Wheel of Ball. And now I'm turning, the ball over to you. It's another turnover for me. I'd love to hear Ron Cook's voice. I think
come all for the Wheel of Ball.
Oh, I miss him. No, I don't.
Why don't we start with Myles Garrett's contract? 25-26. He has a cap hit of $19 million and $20 million. That's 7% of Cleveland's cap. His dead cap for Cleveland, though, would be substantial, $36 million and $21
million. Oh, my.
That's big if they try to trade him and move off. But there was also a big announcement that just came out of Cleveland, Joe. Ken Dorsey will now be calling plays against the Ravens this week. No more Kevin Stefanski calling the offensive plays for the Cleveland Browns. They've made a change there.
Plan the parade in Cleveland, I say. Ken Dorsey turns everything around. What a joke they truly are. They truly have become the Cleveland Browns again.
Jameis Winston is their starting quarterback.
I mean, this is...
that they had just announced today.
What a sad, sad and sickly franchise they truly are. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Are fans wearing bags to the games yet in Cleveland?
No, not yet, but I'm sure that is foreshadowing of what's to come.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Spin that wheel. I love that sound. It's very satisfying.
It makes me feel good about the day. Joe, Saquon Barkley has been named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. After rushing for 176 yards against the Giants' defense. So if Barkley runs for 176, he's my second favorite back in the entire NFL. Maybe my favorite behind Christian McCaffrey, right next to Christian McCaffrey. Hmm. What should we expect Najee Harris to rush for this week against the Giants?
Well, he's not as good as Saquon Barkley, but he's looking great in these last couple games. I mean, it wasn't long ago that we were asking, is Cordarrelle Patterson a better option than Najee? So I would caution ourselves on that, but I think he and they have a chance to have a pretty big day. You know, the Giants' defense isn't horrible. It's their offense that's horrible. So maybe that does actually feed into that. This could be the type of game where Steelers get a big lead and just shut it down and let Najee run wild. It's a long way of answering your question, and I apologize for that, Limits. I think he could run for 150 yards this week. But here's the other thing. Jaylen Warren finally looked like himself, didn't he? And
yes.
what a development that is. When you have a two-headed monster like that, who compares to it? Not many. That's a top five running back tandem in the NFL.
It's like Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard from a couple years ago.
What a wonderful comparison you've made, Limits.
A tough runner and also a speedy runner, and that's what they have.
By the way, Saquon, he's looking better than he ever has. I wondered with him, you know, it seemed like, you know, a Gale Sayers-like situation where he had this comet burst into the league with 1,300 yards and 11 touchdowns. And anytime he touches the ball, he could score. And then the knee injury, and he was still good, but I wondered, would he ever be the same? And he was really good again in 2022. But man, this year, he looks like he's the closest thing. I said this in college, the first time I ever saw him play. That's the closest thing I've seen to Barry Sanders since Barry Sanders. He looks like that again. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Limits.
From Sports Betting AG in a tweet from Chris Adamski.
He looks like that again. I shouldn't have done that.
You didn't like my rhyming?
No, go ahead.
The odds are out for Cooper Kupp's next team and continue to shuffle. After Kansas City acquired DeAndre Hopkins, The team that is in first place, the number one odds to acquire Cooper Kupp with 4-5 odds, very high odds to acquire Cooper Kupp is?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
Minus 125, followed by the Chargers at 4-1, Tampa Bay 6-1, the Lions at 7-1.
What about the Niners?
San Francisco 49ers are 33-1.
I was going to say money-wise, but there's no real obligation. If I'm reading this correctly, and God knows I might not be, everything I've seen is there's a $5 million. The only thing guaranteed for next year is $5 million, and there's no guarantee for 2026. And they're willing to pick up the remainder of his money this season. So I don't know. Could the Niners be in that? I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think so. But at the same time, their wide receivers are so banged up. I mean, Debo was in the hospital. Ayuk's out for the year. Jennings was out. They had, Ricky Pearsall's their rookie?
Yeah, and then Tampa Bay is beyond desperate now for a receiver. And they're pretty good.
Pearsall is their healthiest wide receiver. He was involved in that horrific shooting a couple months ago. I mean, so they've had a lot that has gone on with their wide receiving core this past couple of weeks, really this past season. So could they make a move? Yeah, but what are they, like 3-4 right now? Is that the best thing that they could potentially do rather than just get their you-know-what together in-house?
Next.
This is getting a lot of reaction on social media, and this is going to be our social video of the day. Chris Hoak saying there are a lot of teams who would want the Steelers wide receiver corps on the show today, Joe. What do you make of that? Because I don't know about that.
Well, if you start with George Pickens, there are a multitude of teams who would want that. But overall, I would have to disagree. But let's say you offered, let's say you wanted to make a trade. All the Steelers receivers to, I was going to say Buffalo, but they've added Amari Cooper. The Jets? No. The Ravens? I don't know, man. If you get Pickens in the deal, I disagree with Chris there. Let's put it that way. The Chiefs would do that right now because they'd get Pickens. I can tell you that much.
Well, they have Hopkins now and Worthy.
He's not Pickens. I think the Chiefs would do that. Can you imagine Pickens with Patrick Mahomes? There are some teams that would want it, but not many in my humble opinion. How about you?
I don't think that many teams would really want that. Maybe the Chargers right now would trade for
Chargers
that.
Chargers for sure.
Tennessee, yes. Their wide receiving core is ridiculous.
Tampa Bay at the moment sure would.
Other than that, I don't really see too many others. Tampa Bay, yeah, but that's because everybody's hurt.
Maybe Green Bay would.
Like if you're talking
to
straight
up. To go with Jordan Love, maybe.
And Romeo Doubs is playing really well right now. And Christian Watson, I don't think Green Bay would trade their wide receivers for George Pickens and the field.
Thank you, Limits.
You're quite welcome. The best point differential in the AFC after 7 weeks. Buffalo, plus 63. Chiefs, third, plus 43. So who's in second? The Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 60 in point differential. I mean, we're not talking about 2-3 weeks into the season. 7 weeks, we're almost halfway there, and the Steelers are the second best in the AFC in point differential. Their two losses are by a field goal.
It makes a big difference when you're winning comfortably. I mean, that should go without saying here. But the Steelers have made a habit of not doing that for years now. I went into a long diatribe about this yesterday, if you'll remember, City Limits. They reached the point where people like Collinsworth and Tirico are actually complimenting them for lowering themselves into a mud bath with the Cowboys, like it was somehow worthy of praise to be stuck in a maybe lose game with the Cowboys with time winding down. This is right where the Steelers want them. What? Where you want to be is up 20, 10 late in games. That's what good teams do. And the Steelers are starting to look like a good team. And the point differential is a direct reflection of that. Care who they're playing. I don't care who they're playing. When you're plus 60, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Emmitts, you okay?
Yes, I was making sure you wanted to get everything in that you wanted to say about it.
Why the moment of silence? Go ahead.
I was giving you the greatest opportunity to react to Beanie Bishop not being named AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Who was?
Cody Barton of Denver.
Barton Fink? Go ahead.
Eight tackles, one pass defense, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery for a touchdown, 52-yard touchdown. Mm. If Beanie Bishop on that interception, the second one, takes it to the house, is Beanie Bishop AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And so that's the difference. 1 yard.
What a wonderful point you've made there, and I think he should be anyway. I mean, what you just said, a sack. Okay, wait a second here. Did you mention he had a sack too?
Beanie Bishop, I did not mention.
No, not Beanie
Barton?
Bishop. Yes.
I did not. I just read you off the stats that were on the graphic from the NFL.
Okay, he had a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown. I can't take that away from him. In fact, I'm very proud of him, even though I have no idea who he is. But it took a performance like that to take it away from Beanie, who turned around the game, and I don't know, is it a stretch to say the season? With that amazing interception before the half. I mean, that was kind of a one-handed pick. He made a great, and it was with his left hand, I might add. He's not left-handed, is he? I don't know.
I don't know. But did you ever hear the quote from Beanie Bishop at the end of the Pitt game when they played West Virginia last year talking about Phil Dracovic?
No, what did he say? You know,
I was sitting next to Mike Ostie at the press conference, and Beanie Bishop talking about Phil Dracovic basically said, we knew he was not that good at his job, and that is all I remember about Beanie Bishop when I see him get interceptions now. The play that he made against Phil Dracovic and him saying in the press conference that he knew Phil Dracovic wasn't good at his job.
Is Phil Dracovic in the NFL right now?
No. No, he's not.
I've got a question for you based on that. Would you mind spinning the wheel?
Yes.
You meant no. Because the question was, would you mind spinning the wheel?
No, I'm sorry. I would not mind.
Slice on Broadway was incredible today, wasn't it?
Just so good.
I had the pepperoni. What'd you have?
I had pepperoni. I also had one piece of plain, and I had one of the pepperoni rolls. The little small pepperoni rolls.
Spectacular.
Those are really good.
Dulac saying the Steelers were counting the weeks until Cameron Sutton comes back, and that it's still the case despite Bishop's play. I mean, yeah, it would be good to get the Cam Sutton you had a couple years ago, and we'll see. But I want to see a whole bunch more of Beanie. Is he going to automatically unseat Beanie is my question to you.
Well, let's not act like Beanie Bishop was a dominant player before this past week. Like, he needed this week to be able to break out and start to cement himself, because there have been previous weeks where he's gotten beat, he hasn't made good enough tackles, and he's gotten lost in zone coverage. So it would not surprise me if Cam Sutton would replace Beanie Bishop right off the jump, just for now, with Bishop still being the long-term answer at slot corner.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The last I saw Cam Sutton, and I know he was out of position and elevated to too high of a role with the Lions, he was getting absolutely smoked repeatedly. I'm curious. I guess I tend to agree with you today, but if Beanie builds on that, the old Beanie builder, if he builds on that, I'd play him. I mean, it's not often you see a guy turn a game like he did, and he almost returned that for a touchdown. Like, yeah, on one hand, it was lucky, but he was also very aware on that play, and the second one I'm talking about, and turned it into basically a touchdown. Next.
Last one I have for you before the big boy. Penn State will play Ohio State in 2 weeks at home on November 2nd, and the game is scheduled for noon on Fox's Big Noon in what is a top five matchup in college football. So my question to you, Joe, is...
No, it sucks. It should be at night.
Yes. Is Big Noon ruining great college football matchups in the Big Ten, because it's always the Big Ten that Fox puts in Big Noon, or maybe the Big 12. They'll put Colorado there if they're on the East Coast. But to me, Big Noon is just like, come on, man. Atmospheres and environments in college football matter.
You can't even tell it's a whiteout at noon.
No.
It doesn't matter at noon.
That's why they don't put the whiteout at the noon
sun,
game for the Ohio State
Is that
game.
Their whiteout
no,
game?
No, it'll be Washington, who sucks, and they'll probably beat by 40 points. And Ohio State, it can't be because it's a noon game, and the whiteout is always a night game.
Well, now I'm confused, but I don't care.
What are you confused about?
I don't know. Is this happening repeatedly in the Big Ten?
Yes. Yes.
Their biggest games are at noon?
Ohio State, Michigan, the last 3 years has been at noon as well, instead of a night game.
I kind of like that for some reason.
I don't at all.
I don't know. I like waking up and watching Ohio State, Michigan.
I understand.
What's your point here? I don't understand. Why are they doing it at noon?
Well, they're doing it at noon probably to win that window of TV ratings because everybody, you know, watches at night.
Wouldn't Ohio State, Penn State win any window?
Yes. But that's probably why they're trying to put it at noon, I think. Should this be... Like, why should Fox be allowed to put all these big games at noon?
I don't know.
You're asking
the wrong guy. Yes. Clearly, Penn State-Ohio State should have been Penn State's whiteout game.
And it should be at 7:30 at night.
Yes, or 7 or 8. I could live with either one of those limits.
Pitt-Syracuse Thursday night, 7:30 primetime game. They're obviously going to have a Thursday noon game, but that's the type of game against Syracuse with a good quarterback you want to see at night.
We're going to talk a lot more tomorrow about Pitt possibly going 7-0 for the first time since, 82? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a gigantic game for Pat Narduzzi.
Dan Marino was the quarterback. Last time they were 7-0.
Man, every win they get now, they become a bigger and bigger story. Just keep it rolling. What do they have after that? SMU?
Yeah, and SMU's ranked.
I know. With Clemson waiting down the road. Man, I hope that becomes a story. I hope Pitt and Clemson are both where they are right now. I know Clemson, they lost, right? They lost their opener. But they're still a top 10 team in the country. Can you imagine, oh, limitless wonder, if 4 games from now, let's see, Syracuse, SMU, Virginia, then Clemson as a home game. Time to be determined for you, For your sake, I hope the game's at night. You'd be very happy about that.
I would probably be able to make it because I'm probably working a game that day.
I personally don't care. I just want it to be Pitt. What is Pitt right now? Number 20?
19.
Thank you, Limits.
You're welcome.
Numbers
matter.
If Pitt wins its next 3, they could be, 12th in the country.
Yeah, 10th.
And Clemson could be 5th. Could be one of the biggest college games ever not Heinz Field.
The Ack.
Yeah, Acrisure Stadium. You think the Ack would be packed for that game?
I would hope so. I would hope they'd get a decent crowd.
I don't think that's unrealistic. I mean, it's probably a bad bet just because they both have to win every game before then. But how about that? Let's go up to number 11. Number 11, Pitt against number 5, Clemson at the Ack on November 16th. Please make that happen. Limits. Do whatever you can.
I have zero say or influence.
The big boy is up next. Let's ask him about Cooper Kupp. I have a feeling the big boy's going to shoot this down in very sarcastic fashion. Don't you think?
Easily.
That's what he's going to say. All these reports were a joke. They don't need Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson is better than Justin Jefferson. That's what we're going to hear from the big boy, I think.
He definitely has that machismo.
FatFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th, this Sunday, is it? Wonder Twin?
Yes, it is this Sunday.
At Rockwell Park in the East End, the event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Are you going, and is Muffin going? Like, what do we wait till that morning to see how Muffin feels?
Muffin is a game-time decision. We have to see if she'll be... I think there's a blessing of the pets that I'd like to take Muffin to, so I have to get approval.
A blessing of the pets?
Yes, 9:30 blessing of the pets.
Well, what better time after she gets blessed to go over to the party?
That would be right.
You said she doesn't get along well with other dogs. Is that right?
Well, she doesn't. She just kind of doesn't really like to tolerate them. Like, she'll stand there as the other dogs, just kind of stand around. But Muffin isn't very interested in engaging with the other dogs.
Well,
she won't,
okay.
Bark or anything.
She's like me at parties. I just stood by the keg. I didn't need to talk to anybody. I mean, what will determine whether Muffin is going or not?
He definitely has that machismo.
Yes, it is time for the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. He joins our show right now. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, big boy, two-part question. What'd you think of DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs, and what would you think of Cooper Kupp to the Steelers?
Well, you know what? I'm taking over here, Joe. Give me a standing ovation with the Russell Wilson stuff right now. Not a moment of silence. I need a golf clap. Yeah.
Limits, join in with some clapping, some live clapping. There we go. Yeah.
Now you know about the machismo I was talking about. Okay.
He definitely has that machismo.
Cooper Kupp, is that the first question you said?
First, what do you think of the Chiefs getting Hopkins, and then what about the Steelers with Kupp?
Boy, isn't that great? I mean, the Chiefs don't waste time. They identified an issue and went out and got him. I mean, Steelers have been looking for a wide receiver and for 6 months. It took him like 6 minutes to find one. So he still has, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to make him into a viable threat. They needed it. They identified a weakness and went out and be able to get him. So it's significant. I mean, that offense is not really running on all cylinders right now in Kansas City. So give him credit. I mean, that's what you have to do if you're, you know, three-time Super Bowl champion back-to-back. You identify an issue. We don't have a big window here. I mean, relatively speaking, go find it. So I think it's a pretty significant trade. As for Cooper Kupp, I'd go get him, man. I mean, once again, you're 5-2 right now. Very good possibility of being 6-2 with the meteor schedule coming up. And then I know Cooper Kupp has been injured the last 2 years, but you see game one, week one, when he was healthy, he had 20 some odd targets. He was still a guy to be reckoned with. It's not going to cost you a ton of money. I think, what is it, $5-6 million for the rest of the season, if I'm correct. I mean, if it's a one-year rental, so be it. I don't care. You can restructure stuff next year to get rid of that roster bonus if you need to, if you want to keep him around. His base salary is not high. You're able to get him at a, you know, third-round pick. I'd say go all for it, because you're not going to find yourself in position 6-2 very often, I don't think.
What if it took a second-round pick?
That's tough. Well, once again, I mean, I'd probably think hard and heavy about doing it, yes. Because, like I said, if you're going all in, all for it, and that's what they did for March, right? I mean, for bringing in Russell, bringing in Patrick Queen, they want to win right now. And if they want to win right now, you got that seemingly the quarterback position somewhat figured out, that he can help you maybe go further than maybe the quarterbacks you've had here the past couple of years. If that's what it takes, and if it takes a second-round pick, I wouldn't want to do that. I don't think it would take that much, because he is 31 coming off an injury and has a decent amount of money left on that contract. I would be a little iffy, but if that – put it this way. If I'm taking a two, giving up a two, I better be getting like a fifth back, something to that possibility. But, yeah, I would still – greatly consider that, because you need it. I mean, you can have whatever you could do last week with Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, all those guys, George Pickens. You throw a top level receiver in there like Cooper Kupp and look at his numbers the past 4 or 5 years and see what he did when he was healthy week one, and he is a top level guy. So yes, I would very well consider doing it.
What grade would you give Russell Wilson for his debut, and does it get better from here?
No, you probably give him a solid B, the B+. I mean, of course, I think it's going to get better. I mean, you're not going to – you hope he doesn't start off with some errant throws like he did in that first quarter, where he was not quite sure where he was going to go with the ball. But, yeah, you would assume the guy that hasn't played in pretty much 11 months, 10 months will get better. I thought he played extremely well. It doesn't mean all of his passes were perfect. He can't get better, but he did what a lot of other quarterbacks need to do.
is get the ball in the vicinity of your playmakers and let them go up and make plays. Okay, he just threw a jump ball to George Pickens. You know what? That jump ball is a pretty high impact play, a pretty high possibility of you making it if you throw it in the right spot and let that guy go get that. So I think he wasn't afraid to take shots, and it sometimes it doesn't work out. This time it does, but I think he'll just continue to get better, and I think you'll see that on the back end of it. I think you'll see stuff, the better running game, the more play action stuff, and more of a scheming to get guys open. So I think it will get better.
Najee might not like my next question for you, but I think it's a legitimate one. What's gotten into him? Why does he look different? Why is he suddenly breaking off long runs?
I would say a combination of things. Number one is you can't run unless you don't have, unless you have a hole, right? I mean, you could be Walter Payton, Barry Sanders in their prime, and if there's a guy in your face, as soon as you get the ball, you're not going to run the ball.
But I would say, just to add quickly, Mark, that at times it seems like he doesn't see a hole when it's there. His vision as a runner has been in question at times.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But I think he's gotten better at that. I think he's a little bit quicker, a little bit more nimble, a little bit, you know, quick twitch muscles here. I mean, you saw that. He's probably going about 215 right now. It's not like he's a huge bruising guy anymore. That has to help. The downfield blocking has helped as well. Well, I mean, the scheme, too, has helped as well, where he's been able to set up some runs. And so, like I said, I think it should get better. What? Hold on. Nah.
What happened?
The Pepsi guy just asked me a question. So,
what'd he ask?
Whose pickup truck was this? And I said, I have no idea. I was confused. Okay.
Have you heard from Ron lately?
Only happens to me, right there, Joe.
Yeah, of course. Have you heard from Ron lately?
No, Ron's off the grid, maybe. I haven't even talked to him since the hurricane rolled through there, Hurricane Ron.
What if you and I showed up at Ron's door in Florida? What kind of reception do we get? Happy? Come on in, have a beer, stay for a while, or door shut?
I think he'd be very happy for about an hour. Then he'd probably try to, like, shoo you out.
Yeah.
You know, one of those type of things. Unless you go get him some free light, then maybe he would be more welcoming.
He might stick around. Limits, would you like to hop in on the questioning for the big boy? I know you've been very curious about some things.
Yes, big boy. I have a couple of things that immediately come to mind for me. You know about how I felt regarding Patrick Queen, but it feels like over the last couple of weeks, he's really assured himself in this defense and looks like a solid contributor and has really found his role in the Mike Tomlin defense.
Yeah, he came up to me and said he wasn't too happy with this limits guy and he was going to show him that he's really a star player. Not really. I'm joking. Okay, there you go. I mean, you just have to give a guy time, man, to really fit into a new situation. I know he was a guy who's got a big contract making, you know, the highest free agent contract in the history of the Steelers here, but sometimes it takes time. I mean, he's still a young guy, and once again, they're finding a different role for him where he fits in that, and he was able to play extremely well the past couple of seasons, and he's another one that as you move forward, you would have to imagine that he's just going to get better and better and better. I don't think he's missed a snap this year. We tend to rush to judgment on guys. I mean, probably rightfully so. I mean, if you're giving a guy $15 million a year, you want him to be a high-impact player immediately. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I think he's a star player, still a young player, and I think it might help him a little bit with Peyton Wilson getting a lot of snaps next to him. But I think he's played extremely well, and I don't see that that's going to be anything less moving forward. I think he's just going to continue to get better.
It doesn't seem like Tomlin loves Roman Wilson. What's happening there?
I don't know. He doesn't, right? That moving train, right before I got on the air, the train was coming right back to the south side, and I saw Roman trying to jump on it, but he couldn't do it. But Yeah, I don't know, man. Every time I see him.
It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Oh, man. You throw these in here and I lose my concentration.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't do it.
How'd that Trubisky train work out?
Not well. It went off the tracks, I think.
Yeah, Roman Wilson, every time I see him in practice, he looks fabulous. I mean, I don't know what's happening behind closed doors. I don't know if it's not in the book, you know, the playbook. I don't know if he's limited in what he can run route-wise, but it's obviously something that he is not doing correctly. It's not injury-related, health-related, or anything like that. It's probably a guy who's a third-round pick who has missed a huge portion of the season with that ankle injury, and he hasn't been able to catch up and basically learn how to be a pro yet. Now, this is just pure speculation because watching him on the field, he looks like he's one of the top three receivers out there every time I see him. But for Mike to come out there publicly, and he does it low-key, and he does it a lot the rookies, you wouldn't hear him say anything negative about anybody else. He's probably tried a number of different things and hasn't worked. So let's throw this out here publicly to really see if we can get his attention right now. So that's the only thing I can think of, because physically and out on the field, he looks good to me. Looks above. He looks a lot. He looks better than Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, Calvin Austin in my eyes.
Interesting. Very odd situation. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High is 75 today with sunny skies. All right, let's get to the controversy. Ray Fittipaldo, one of the three nicest men in the history of Pittsburgh sports, right up there with Jerry DePaula and Marc-Andre Fleury, asked Mike Tomlin a seemingly innocent question, and Tomlin comes back and lightheartedly, I'll say, but seemed to say you had an attitude. You took an attitude on that question. And then it became a question of whether Tomlin said latitude or attitude. I checked in with Ray after the news conference. He thought it was attitude, but he said the context fit latitude. Benzi, little Benzi, he thought it was latitude. Then the Steelers transcript said attitude. Let's take a listen, big boy, and then let's hear your take.
In regards to Minka's block, why has the competition committee been resistant to maybe opening that up to replay review?
I don't know that the committee has, and as a member of the committee, I can confirm that we haven't been resistant. I don't know where you get that bit of information from.
Well, I mean, replay review overall. I know a couple years ago you had the pass interference that could be reviewed. That was a one-year experiment, but it just seems like...
So you just took a little attitude in terms of that question?
Where do you stand? I'm an attitude guy. He said attitude, big boy. You?
It sounded like attitude, but I just find it hard to believe that Mike Tomlin in that setting would say attitude. So the benefit of the doubt, knowing it was a public setting, I would go with latitude. Now, if it was just us, you know, kibitzing out on the sidelines here, I could see him saying attitude. So I'm going with latitude, but I like the little, what do you call that, Joe? A felt tip dart? Was that what it was?
Yeah, I think that was a felt tip dart from Tomlin. Yeah. See, people saying that the context fit latitude because Ray expanded what replay could be about, I disagree. The context clearly fit attitude because Tomlin, on the first question, seemed to take a little bit of offense because he is a member of the competition committee.
Yes.
And then Ray had the little, well, like that. You were there. Did Ray take on any type of attitude? He might have.
Like you said, one of the top three nicest guys in the world. I probably put him ahead of Marc-Andre Fleury. And I've never talked to Marc-Andre Fleury, but I agree with Jerry DePaula, number one. But I don't think Ray would have anything negative to say like that, trying to stir up something. Now, if that was Benzi, I would definitely say attitude. So,
Did the Steelers official transcript said attitude? Don't you think they would check with Tomlin if they had any question?
I think I'm pretty sure that that's done by an automated, what do you call that, Trent or whatever, that service where you just put your phone up and it automatically transcribes it.
No way.
Right?
There's no way. Yeah. You'd make too many mistakes on that, and it's too important to get the coach's words exactly right. Not here, obviously, but in other situations.
They go through and clean it up, though, but for the most part, maybe it was just a word that came up as attitude, and they just skipped over it. There's probably, I'm guessing there's about a 10,000-word, if not more, press conference, right? So it might have been a word. Hey, but trust me, I've seen them clean it up before.
Yeah, exactly. So when need be, they'll clean it up.
Man, it's a big day. Flip? Maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
I forgot. What'd you think of Eko's performance?
I didn't know he played. I just liked this.
Maybe it was Ade who played. I don't know.
I just was noting Alex Highsmith, really a tackle that was once one of the best tackles in the NFL. So that's
Well, let's put this thing to bed, big boy. Let's hear it one more time. And ultimately, the way I'm going with this is it was slightly contentious, and Tomlin went with attitude, which I actually like here. But I have no doubt that he said lightheartedly, you took a little attitude, or you took a little attitude with that question. Let's hear it one final time.
I mean, replay review overall. I know a couple years ago you had the pass interference that could be reviewed. That was a 1-year experiment, but it just seems like overall.
So you just took a little attitude in terms of that question?
Now even hearing it more, I'm thinking latitude.
Oh, this is unbelievable. Where do you stand, Limits?
I think it sounds like attitude, guys.
I mean, their official transcript says attitude. Ray himself thought it was attitude.
Two things could be correct at the same time.
No, they can't.
Yes, Russell Wilson could be the best quarterback for him right now, and Fields could be for the future. It could mean he said latitude, but it sounded like attitude.
It was.
Jeff, Phil Starkey wants to know if you said latitude or attitude. To Ray yesterday.
Latitude.
See, Jeff says latitude, and he's number. He didn't even put you in the top three of most nicest people in Pittsburgh.
He's fourth. Tell him he's fourth, and I apologize.
Jeff's probably number one, right?
I can't believe all these guys over there are on the latitude train. It's unbelievable to me. Thank you, big boy.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Bye, Mark.
Nice man, isn't he, Limits?
Wonderful man.
I think so. Coming up, let's get back to the topic of the day, and that is Cooper Kupp. And that's really the Steelers receiver situation. Listen, Hokie thinks they're fine as they are. Is Russell Wilson able to unlock this offense in such a way that the backups are good enough, or the guys behind Pickens, whatever you want to call them, that's good enough? It certainly was last weekend. It was. I would argue that the Jets are banged up in the back end, and you're not going to face teams like that all the time. But maybe that's your take. They're fine. I would never squander a second or third round pick for Cooper Kupp. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. I would. I'm looking for as many good players as I can get. And the word urgency, to me, doesn't begin to describe the Steelers' situation this season. As I mentioned from the top, you got a head coach who hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years. You could go to college twice in that time. Limits. You have a quarterback who's 36 who has no guarantee of anything beyond this season. You have a franchise pillar named Cam Hayward who's 35 and has been part of one playoff win in his entire career. Handed to them by Pac-Man Jones. You have maybe the best defensive player in football who just turned 30 2 weeks ago, who's been part of no playoff wins. It's urgent around here. Get as many good players as you can. That's what I say.